welcome to the American Journal. We're excited that you're all jumping on with us today. Happy Tuesday, everyone. A lot going on over here. A lot to unpack, especially with foreign policy. You know, President Trump has been hyper-focused on all things abroad, and it's a little frustrating, obviously. We'll talk about that in a bit, but he has been very outspoken in regards to his plans with Venezuela, as well as Israel, Saudi Arabia, and so much more. So we'll be diving into that in just a bit. Also, the president admitting that there were strikes carried out on land in Venezuela. We'll be detailing that for you in just a bit as well throughout today's show. It's going to be a lot of foreign things because there's a lot going on that you guys need to pay attention to. And I think that's very important. We'll also be joined by a couple of great independent journalists later in the show today because, well, there's a lot happening in regards to independent journalism. As many of you guys know, I'm very passionate about independent journalism and truly believe that it will save this country when people go after corrupt governments. And we seem to have that. You know, no one ever wants to talk about, and I tried. This is like the very beginning when I first started off in the news world, I guess I could say back in New York City, highlighting the fact that a lot of these homeless crisis centers, a lot of these homeless funding projects that were being pushed out by governments, local governments specifically, well, it's just a money laundering scheme. And if we're really trying to get to the root of all of the fraud in this country, which I hope we are, because it seems to be very popular, well, you might want to check on Portland, and we'll discuss about that, or all things related to that in just a bit as well. Also, there was another, I mean, I feel like we talk about this all the time. There was another individual who was just recently arrested. Apparently, he's an ISIS sympathizer, and he was just arrested in Texas. He's a 21-year-old, apparently, who tried reaching out to ISIS online. Again, I mean, this stuff happens quite often, but they're not the people that were brought into this country for the most part. These are just people who happen to reach out online to someone who they believe is ISIS, when in fact there are FBI agents. But Logan Washburn, who's over at the Dallas Express, is going to be joining me on later on the show to detail his findings. He's going to be joining us by phone. So we look forward to that because he's been following that. So we've got a lot on the way coming up in just a few minutes, a lot more to dive into. We're excited about that. We're also going to catch you up on a lot of stories. You know, there's an update in regards to the DC pipe bomber. There's more court filings that were just recently filed. And folks, I don't honestly think we're being told the truth. I know that might become a shocker to some of you out there. Not so much for me, though, of course. It doesn't make any sense. The pipe bomber, the suspected pipe bomber, I should say, this individual's someone who I don't even think actually did anything. Well, this person is saying in court, through his attorney, obviously, that he has autism, he's on the spectrum, and he has OCD. He also has no criminal record. He's also asking to be released prior to his court date, his criminal court case. And I mean, why not? Why wouldn't they do that? Because he's been on the run for, what, 5 years now? Just about? And if this really is the guy who put those two pipe bombs down at the RNC and the DNC, why not just release him? He was on the run forever, and he was never accused of committing any of the crimes. But there's something really suspicious going on here, and even the lawyer is actually calling. And I know you shouldn't be totally shocked, but the attorney for Brian Cole Jr. is actually speaking out as well. So we'll get to that in a bit. I want to remind you all, though, as we head into the new year right now, we've got a sale, and it's only got a couple more hours left over at the alexjonesstore.com. It's buy one, get one free on select supplements. So like I said, a couple more hours left in this one. You're going to want to head on over to thealexjonesstore.com and pick out those supplements because, folks, when this sale ends, it's a good sale. When this sale ends, you're going to lose out on the savings. So head on over to thealexjonesstore.com. If you're looking to get ahead of, let's just say, your New Year's resolution, which I know everyone always claims is to get healthier, well, this is the way to do just that. Also, I just saw, and I'm trying to get the details, we saw that RFK Jr. just released his plans for 2026, the Maha Movement. We'll get into that because that should be very, very interesting in just a bit. So a lot more to dive into in just a few moments. We've got 3 hours of jam-packed content for you. So stay put. More to discuss in just a moment.
Keep your foggy at night. They want you tired. Force, filled with incredible ingredients, ladies and gentlemen. Ultimate Power ignites mental clarity and focus, clean, sustained energy, enhanced blood flow and endurance, supports daily cognitive function. Ultimate Power at thealexshowstore.com.
You're tuned in to The American Journal with your host, Brianna Morello.
Good morning, happy Tuesday, everyone. Welcome back to The American Journal. We're excited you're all jumping on board with us today. A lot going on over here that we're going to dive into. A lot of foreign policy and a lot of foreign moves being made by the President of the United States. President Trump obviously going out there and doing just that. So we're going to be kicking that off in just a little bit. As many of you guys know, the Prime Minister of Israel was at Mar-a-Lago meeting with the President yesterday, and we learned a lot more so about, I'd say probably about Venezuela than anything else. We'll play a couple of those clips because it's quite interesting. We also learned that there's going to be a new country added to the Abraham Accords. That will be interesting. We'll play that clip for you in just a bit. We got a lot of talking to do, though, in regards to the latest in Minnesota as well, because I mean, it's obviously gone viral. Nick Shirley's reporting has gone viral, and for quite some time, actually. So there's all these old videos surfacing. There was one from January of this year of a local news station that tried uncovering a small portion of the fraud in this region. And the reality of it is nobody really had an appetite to go after these Somalians because, folks, they were too afraid of being called racist. That's the reality. And then we have a DOJ right now, AG Pambani, who's like touting. And get this. I mean, she's touting the prosecutions and the investigations that began under the Biden regime as her own successes. And the FBI is doing it as well. I just don't understand why they keep doing this. I'll dive into that in a little bit as well, because it's so frustrating that they're doing this little victory lap. They're doing this little victory lap. When should they really be doing this? We'll talk about that in a bit. We'll also be talking about a very interesting clip. It's quite long, but I'll be jumping in and out of it as well. Mike Benn's digging into how USAID paid journalists to dig up dirt and cook up its crimes on its enemies. Now, this is a good one. This one happened earlier in the year. He put it behind a paywall. He just actually released it. So we're going to be kind of dipping in and out of it. I'll play as much as I can from it. But this is probably one of my favorite reports from 2025 thus far. You know, obviously exposing USAID was a top priority for many. But folks, this was a really, really great story that Mike Benz put together, and he's been doing the digging. He's also been supporting other independent journalists' work and putting that out there as well. So we'll dive into that. There's a lot to discuss as well. There's an uprising, as they're calling it, going on right now in Iran as well. And it's very interesting to sit back and watch, obviously, as you guys know, the President of the United States obviously being very aggressive when it comes to the Iranian threat. But I don't know. Is the CIA present right now? Probably. They're trying to overthrow the current regime. And we'll talk about that in a little bit. We'll also be talking about President Trump, who openly has now said that, yes, we actually did carry out a strike in Venezuela on a dock. We'll play that clip for you guys as well, because I guess, you know, everyone was CNN, I think, reported on it. I think it was last week. And the federal government never actually confirmed it. So we'll discuss that a little bit. All right, let's kick things off by just kind of giving some overview. President Trump yesterday speaking at Mar-a-Lago. He's been there for a couple of days now, and he met with the Israeli Prime Minister, Benjamin Netanyahu. And it was interesting for several reasons. Obviously, he's trying to finalize the peace agreement between Israel and Gaza, the Hamas, I guess we could say at this point. And the reality of it is it's not really moving. Both sides have violated the peace agreements thus far. And I wanted to play this clip in regards to President Trump's plans for Hamas, because I don't know. I don't see this working out if this truly is one of the negotiation terms to bring peace to the region. Take a listen to clip one.
If you don't see Hamas disarm in that short amount of time they're giving them, can you tell us what the next steps would be?
It'll be horrible for them. Horrible. It's going to be really, really bad for them. And I don't want that to happen. But they made an agreement that they were going to disarm. And you couldn't blame Israel. By the way, we have other countries that will come in and do it. They said, let us do it for you if they don't. Countries that were with them wanted the deal to be made, agreed that they would disarm. And now if they say they're going to disarm, That's fine. If they say they're not going to disarm, those same countries will go and wipe them out. They don't even need Israel. You know, we have many countries, 59 countries that are in agreement. This is a real peace in the Middle East. And Hamas is a small part of it, but it's still a part of it. But we have 59 countries that signed on, big countries, countries that are outside of the Middle East, as you know the Middle East. They want to go in and wipe out Hamas. They don't want Israel. They don't need Israel. They want to do it because it's the right thing to do, because they were for the deal based on the fact that Hamas pledged, they swore that they were going to disarm. Now, if they're not going to disarm, those same countries will wipe out Hamas.
We'll see how that all plays out. I do not imagine there being a situation where Hamas gives up their arms. As many of you guys know, they have, they claim to be elected. And I just don't see the vision here. I don't see other countries stepping in to wipe out Hamas. It doesn't really add up to me. But maybe this is also a part of it. You know, President Trump has been talking about expanding the Abraham Accords, and he's looking to do so by bringing another country, obviously, on board. And this one's a big player. Take a listen to clip two.
Well, the Abraham Accords are great. It was a great achievement of Jared and everybody. I mean, it was one of the great achievements. They'll be expanded. Countries are already talking about expanding it. And they'll be expanded fairly quickly. Yeah, please.
Is it still on the table, the normalization?
Saudi Arabia is great. We have a great leader and a friend of mine and a friend of a lot of people. Also an enemy of some people. But those people aren't doing so well. No, Saudi Arabia has been very good as far as I'm concerned. They've done everything that we can ask for.
Normalization with Israel is on the table?
They're getting along great with Israel. They will. And at some point, they'll sign the Abraham Accords.
Now, it'll be interesting to sit back and see how that all plays out again. We'll keep our eye on that. But also, the president yesterday was asked about Venezuela in regards to a CNN report that came out, which said that there were strikes that were being carried out inside of Venezuela. It looks like possibly was on a dock itself, which was being utilized, they claim, to load, obviously, the boats that that he's also been obviously striking in regards to the narcotics being brought in. They say specifically fentanyl, though. Take a listen to clip three and what the president is now telling the public.
Can you say anything more about the explosion in Venezuela that you mentioned in radio interview? Did the military do that?
Well, it doesn't matter, but there was a major explosion in the dock area where they load the boats up with drugs. They load the boats up with drugs, so we hit all the boats, and now we hit the area. It's the implementation area. That's where they implement, and that is no longer around.
Is that the only strike that the U.S. has done?
I don't want to comment.
All right, so we'll keep our eye on that because more will be developing on that front. We'll also be diving into the Venezuela angle to this in just a bit. Around 10 a.m. Eastern time, we'll have Matt Tardio on the program to detail what's going on right now in Venezuela because he's been keeping an eye to that, plus what's going on right now in Iran as well. So a lot to discuss there. But the president obviously pushing still for his foreign peace agreements. I actually saw yesterday that she's very fired up. The president is he's focused heavily on his foreign policy agenda, which obviously is going to have a lot of people in the MAGA movement not very happy. I understand the vision of peace and ending a lot of these wars. But Americans at home, man, I mean, we are struggling to get by. And I think people are starting to get really, really fired up over this. As we continue to see him welcome world leaders into Mar-a-Lago, into the White House, and the rest of us are just wondering, well, when the heck are we all going to be handled as a top priority in this country right now? It doesn't feel that way. It doesn't feel that way. It feels like everything that's happening right now in Mar-a-Lago, at the White House, it just seems to feel like it's just them showboating at this point. So obviously we're going to keep our eye on all of this, but again, I mean, MTG has a point here. Again, I haven't agreed on all of her statements that she's made recently, but this one is solid. This one's solid. I mean, at what point do we sit here and say, all right, how many times are we going to keep welcoming world leaders to Mar-a-Lago? The American people are barely getting by right now. And we're tired of these foreign leaders shuffling in. So we'll keep our eye on that, of course, but many many are just not happy. But let's be a little optimistic. Let's talk about a couple of things that are good things. I believe we have clip 13 now. So I want to go over specifically MAHA for a second. You know, obviously 2025 was a decent start to the MAHA agenda. You know, RFK Jr. really making it a top priority to advance individuals, Americans' health. And this has been a big one. But, you know, they're laying out the 2026 agenda. And this is getting very, very interesting. Take a listen.
Dietary guidelines, defining ultra-processed foods, all of these different things. Tell us why 2026 is going to be so important.
Yeah, great to be with you, Laura. And look, 2026 will be a fundamental transformational year for the Trump administration, Secretary Kennedy, and FDA when it comes to food reform. There's a lot of big things we want to do. And look, we can't wait. This is an issue that has gone on for far too long in our country. When you talk about our national nutrition crisis, 70% of Americans are overweight or obese. We have over half of young adolescents who can't qualify for military service, and 15,000 new cases of diabetes each week. So we have deep problems in this country. We want to tackle those head on, and we finally have an administration in place that's willing to tackle these big problems.
All right. So we hope as we head into 2026, which I still can't believe, and I'm probably going to mess that up because I cannot believe we're at 2026, but we really do hope that this is a top priority. I mean, the fact that like we even have to ask and push for these things, like obviously baby formula safety. As many of you guys know, during COVID, that was a big issue as well. We've seen so many issues with baby formula being tainted as other means too. There's been a lot in regards to that. So this will be an exciting one to see. Also, another really important thing, front of pack labeling. That's something we look forward to as well. And then changing up those dietary guidelines. That's the one major thing that I look forward to at the most, because as many of you guys know, it's all been backwards for too long. The foods that the FDA and other agencies have been pushing for far too long are the ones that are causing us all to get ill. And, you know, if I've learned anything over the years, it's obviously after going carnivore, it's that our processed foods are absolute garbage and they are killing us. I mean, they are killing us. There's no other way to look at this. And so when we look at the MAHA agenda for 2026, I'm excited for this. I'm very excited for this, and I'm excited for the government to redefine ultra-processed foods as well, because, folks, I don't think most people even know what that even means. So this will be a good one. Obviously, I truly believe that RFK Jr., because this is something he's very passionate about, is going to make this a top priority for himself, and he's fighting a lot of bad people. So this is one thing that we look forward to heading into 2026, is that these federal agencies will make this a top priority. And I truly believe that they will. If I could promise you anything, I think it's just that. But I can't really promise you anything. But I could promise you that RFK Jr. is definitely trying his hardest. He's putting the most effort into all of this, is the best way to phrase that. And he's competing against a lot of demons when it comes to this. So we'll keep following that story. You know what's also really interesting too? Okay, let's talk about Lauren Chen for a second. So Lauren Chen had a very interesting story. Many of you guys followed this story. This was back in the Biden years. It was right before a major election, obviously. And this is Will Summers just doing a hit piece on her. And it's not even a hit piece on her. I think that this was absurd from the jump. Many of you guys remember Lauren Chen. She had a show over at the Blaze. She was running Tenet Media with her husband. The Biden regime went after her, and they never charged her. They never charged her with a crime. But they went after her, and they tried to push all of these conservative influencers as Russian propagandists by trying to connect them to taking foreign money. Tim Pool was one of them, spoke very openly at the fact that they had an agreement with Tenet Media, but there was no actual content control. Benny Johnson as well, and Dave Rubin. So interesting enough, she was never a U.S. citizen. She's Canadian. So Lauren went back to Canada because she lost her work visa over all of this. She was also fired by the Blaze as well, which I've spoken about. I thought it was very premature to fire her from anything because she was never actually proven to be guilty of any crimes. And I do believe that we turn on our own. Well, obviously, there was no crimes actually committed here because she was never charged with a crime, her husband either. And so how quickly they just completely destroyed her reputation without actually making a real connection. Well, now they're going after her because she was just let back into the United States through an individual at the State Department, Joe Rittenhouse. And it's just so infuriating because although they'll go out there and criticize her for being a part of this, they have never actually cited a specific instance where she influenced media coverage here in the United States based on Russian money. She's not been charged with a crime. And so I really do hope Lauren can make a bounce back on this one. I know she just recently started coming back to social media. But I think this highlights a bigger issue. You know, there was a lot of people on social media when I was jumping on this and said, hold on a second. This is a corrupt DOJ. Before you go after someone, give them a second to prove whether they're innocent or not. And Lauren has spoken out, not in detail, obviously, because when you're under investigation, you're very limited to what you can say publicly. But I'm excited to see that she's stepping back into the conservative media space. The Biden administration completely nuked her visa, that's according to her complaints, after the funding was exposed in the DOJ criminal court filings. So again, nothing ever happened to her. I want to keep highlighting this. If there was a case, why didn't they go after her? But right now you see people are going after her for being let back into the country. But again, she was never indicted on anything. I think this highlights a much bigger issue here where we seem to abandon people when they're accused of things without seeing any physical evidence of crimes. And again, although I truly, and I love people over, the several people over Blaze I love, I was not on board with them firing Lauren Chen. Sorry about that. Because I think she's a great commentator. I think she's done a great job so far. And you don't have to agree with her on everything. But folks, they get away with it to doing it to her. I mean, they do it to everyone. And so good on her for being let back into the country. Again, this was a slander campaign because I remember this was all coming out and the media was covering it. The corporate media is what I'm referring to here. And it was Tim Pool, Dave Rubin. I mean, all these names being thrown out there as if they were being spewed talking points by Russia. And then the DOJ eventually had to come out and say, oh, no, we're not accusing them of taking these talking points. We're just saying that Tenet Media was buying the licensing rights for their shows. Yeah, it was an insane amount of money. But who are we to judge? If somebody wants to pay you a certain amount of dollars for your show, it's a free market. And so it was a little upsetting to see how quickly people turned on her. But I'm glad she's going to be jumping back into the space. Again, so many people give up too quickly. Give up too quickly. And it's only on our side of the aisle. All right, I want to turn to an update regarding the J6 pipe bomber suspect. As many of you guys know, Brian Cole Jr. is the individual who has been charged. Now, we have new court filings that just came out earlier this morning. And, you know, I've sifted through some of it. Again, it's very interesting. We've played the body cam video for you in regards to how Cole was interacting back in 2024 with law enforcement after a car accident. He was given a ticket and he had to be explained what the purpose of that ticket was. And it was very clear there was something just not right with him. And again, I want to be as kind as I can because he is someone who, according to court filings, is on the spectrum and he might have some developmental issues. But it just adds to the fact that so many of us aren't buying the current suspect that's been charged. The narrative, it doesn't make any sense. So Brian Cole Jr. in court filings is openly admitting now through his attorney that he is, yes, on the spectrum and he does have OCD. Now, again, he is asking, his attorneys are asking and saying for him not to be detained while he's waiting his pending trial, which is a big one. They're asking for him to be released. They also cite the fact that he doesn't have a criminal record. During the time of when those pipe bombs were put down till today, he's never been accused of a crime either. So it would make sense for the judge to side and release Cole, I truly think. But none of this is making any sense. None of this is making any sense. The DOJ is really pushing, and the FBI too. We all saw that press conference. It was quite strange because it wasn't even a press conference where information was given to the people. It was a press conference where they all just sat around and pat each other on the back and said, good job, we did it. We did it. But what did they do? Cole's attorney is even calling out, as many of you guys know, Janine Pirro, who's running the DC attorney's office right now, too. It's in regards to her comments about saying that he has admitted to being the pipe bomber.
again, that taints a jury pool. And although I called it out when it was happening to Jay Sixers, it makes sense why a defense attorney would also call it out. Again, how do you have a fair case when they're putting this information out there? And I also think it's interesting that they question this guy. And just based on the video, you could tell that he has a disability. So he was questioned without attorneys. And it's very obvious that he has a disability. So the admission to me doesn't really mean much. Gotta be just blunt on that. If you've ever met somebody in your life, and I've met several who have these types of disabilities, you know that they can be pressured very quickly into admitting anything out of fear. Many people do, but specifically those who are on the spectrum. And it's detailed in the court filings. Now, again, I know that they're using that phone records situation, but his family reminds us that he was a DoorDash driver. And the excuse that the government's using, that he thought there was election fraud and Joe Biden was wrongfully elected, doesn't make sense. And it's kind of crazy on how, you know, we could say here, we don't believe this. And the people who are now at the top leadership positions also wouldn't have believed it if they were behind the mic, but they're still pushing it. And if you criticize it, well, they're not really friends of yours anymore. This is insane. I don't think this is the pipe bomber, guys. And I don't know how many more times we could say it. You know, Kyle Serafin's done a great job of digging into this. Steve Baker's still in the case. By the way, a little health update. Steve is doing well. He's back home. He's, you know, being taken care of. So that's the good news. He obviously had that heart issue without disclosing too much information, but he is good. He's at home recovering. We're very thankful for that. Actually, yesterday on my ex page, he commented because I was just saying, you know, there's so many negative stories right now in the news cycle. I want to cover more positive. And so he sent his Apple Watch image that his heart rate's doing a lot better. And so that's good news. But Steve Baker has been on this, and he's probably just so stressed out given the fact that a lot has gone on and he's still digging into this. So good on Baker. Again, I mean, it's not a narrative that adds up. And so asking simple questions, I think, is justified. And again, when I reach out to the FBI for comment, someone did reach out to me and told me, oh, you'll see more evidence soon. Unfortunately, that deadline that they gave me, we haven't seen anything. We haven't seen anything at all. All right, folks, we got more to dig into in just a moment. Don't go anywhere. We're going to be discussing the latest in the Minnesota Somalian fraud cases that are going on right now. I don't even know their cases. DOJ claims they're investigating. We'll see. In the meantime, though, head on over to thealexjonesstore.com. It's buy one, get one free on select supplements for a limited time, a couple more hours left. So get started in the Maha year 2026 with thealexjonesstore.com.
Tomorrow is the last day to buy any of our incredible supplements at thealexjonesstore.com, the Ultra Methylene Blue, you name it, and get any other supplement free. That means you can buy a $25 supplement and get a $45 supplement free. That's not the normal buy one and get one free at the same time. This is a massive deal. On some of the deals, if you get like the more expensive supplement, when you buy one of the inexpensive ones, they're break even or loss leader. AlexJonesApp.com, put that on screen. You get 20% off when you use the app. It's the same shopping cart. So this is crazy, but that's why we can't have these super big sales, because there's got to be some margin of profit there to operate. But we don't mind some lost leaders sometimes, because the products are so good. We have an 80%+ reorder rate on the Methylene Blue, 75% reorder on average for the other products. Nobody in the supplement industry has that reorder level. These are all the best. They're either the best certified private label from a company, or we go to and get a top formula and go and make it even better. But most of our products are simply private labels of already number one, 5-star certified, the best. I mean, we don't like to reinvent the wheel around here, okay? Whatever's the highest rated, whatever's the most studied, whatever is the best, that is what you're going to get. That's what people get our supplements and say, my God, I used to take turmeric to give me some relief from pain and inflammation. Well, why is yours so much better? Because the average turmeric's food grade 4%. This is 95%. That's why Body's Ultimate Turmeric Formula, a small amount, by the way, is back in stock at InfoWarsStore.com, was the first 95% curcuminoid. And we got a 95% curcuminoid at Bigly at the AlexJonesStore.com. So it's real simple. Our creatine gummies is the highest quality type of creatine there is. Go look it up. You'll look at the name we have. Just ask Rock, is this the best creatine? He'll say, absolutely. Hands down. Nano concentrated on top of it. I mean, it's just real simple. We treat you like we want to be treated. Plus, we want it to really work so you come back. That's our philosophy. It's real simple. I don't want to sell you something one time. I want a relationship. All I need to do is go to thealexjonesstore.com. Why the selection of Patriot apparel? What an adventure to wear it. I need the funds. All this stuff's going on. You see, we're still here because we're fighting them tooth and nail, okay? And if they shut us down, we just go right over to the Alex Jones Network at thealexjonesstore.com, also financed, which I don't own, so they can't shut that down. I don't own thealexjonesstore.com. Bigly does. I don't own the Alex Jones Network. They do. But I need your support. And let me tell you something. Something like Ultra DNA Revival is an NAD plus booster. And it's got the precursor of NAD, because most people don't absorb NAD. Don't know what that does? Well, you need to look into it. That's just one of the ingredients. Big dose, high quality organic NAD. The precursor. Because it's the precursor you're able to absorb. Okay, this cleans out your cells. This turbocharges your body. This gives you clarity, energy, focus, makes your telomeres last longer. This goes great with the methylene blue. Also, a ridiculous name, but it actually is true. I didn't come up with a name for this. Ultimate power. we said, hey, make something even better than Turbo Force with natural clean energy without the letdown. This is even stronger than Turbo Force, which was amazing. If you like Turbo Force, get Ultimate Power.
When the robots rise, the skies turn red and the cities burn cold. Circuits hunt the weak and mercy's just a broken code. Only the strong will survive the purge. Only the men of the InfoWar stand ready, armed with truth when the machines bring war.
Tuned in to the American Journal with your host, Brianna Morello. Watch it live right now at band.video.
Welcome back to the American Journal. We're excited you're jumping on with us today. A lot to dive into with a lot of updates in regards to the Somalian fraud schemes that have been going on all across the country, but specifically at this point, we'll be focusing on Minnesota. I don't know if you saw this yesterday, but DHS, they sent their officers to the area and they're just knocking on doors, asking, are there kids here? Asking businesses like the grocery stores, and they're just, you know, poking around. Yesterday, Kristi Noem did tweet out a video of it going on, and, you know, it looks very friendly. I don't know if you're going to get to the bottom of anything with this, but it's very, very friendly so far. Now, folks, it's important to note that when the government wants to go after people for fraud, they do just that. So right now we have an administration who, and again, I mean, we just covered this story, although there was one local news station. I did find the footage back in January of this year that did do some digging into all of this. There really wasn't an appetite to go after the Somalians because, well, everyone fears being called a racist. That's the simplest way to probably put it. But the reality of it is the Somalians do have a habit of trying to buy people's silence. And we'll get into this in just a second because, you know, we talked about it yesterday. The FBI director, Kash Patel, put out a tweet outlining individuals who have been prosecuted for fraud. Somalians specifically, though. Now, although it sounds great, this investigation and the charges were initially filed in 2022, which means they'd be filed under the Biden administration. Again, these things do take a very long time to kind of pan out because dozens of people are wrapped up into this scheme, I believe north of 40. So obviously it's a big situation, but right now, you know, we have the Attorney General Pam Bondi taking a victory lap for something that was done under the Biden regime. Yesterday she posted a tweet that's now been community noted, though, because she didn't tag Nick Shirley's actual account. They tagged the wrong account, but Pam Bondi coming out
on X yesterday and saying the DOJ has been investigating this for months. So far, we have charged 98 individuals, and obviously 85 of those are of Somalian descent. 60 of them have been found guilty in court. We have more prosecutions coming. Buckle up, lawmakers. Sounds good. Sounds very good. But the bulk of those took place under the Biden regime. But let's just give credit where credit's due. And, you know, the AG's office, I did reach out as soon as I saw this tweet go up, and I asked them specifically because I wanted to make sure that we weren't taking a victory lap for the Biden regime's prosecutions. And, well, sadly, a lot of these are wrapped up into the Biden regime. Although, again, if you are filing charges in 2022 and you've got dozens of people wrapped into this, of course, it's going to take years for these cases to settle out. The biggest part of all of this was through the Feeding Our Future. I believe that was the Ilhan Omar pushed bill. But again, 78 defendants were charged in this one. Isn't it crazy, though, when you think about this? I mean, the people who literally, I mean, name one Somalian contribution to this country. I think most Americans, when they hear Somalians, they just automatically think pirates. I don't think anyone knows anything else of the Somalian people. So when you bring them into our country by the masses, and you're sitting here wondering, well, how did this happen? It's easy. It's very easy for this stuff to happen. Also, it seems like they've been buying off people. There's an extensive history of these scams also being pushed, and they're trying to convince the jurors not to convict them. Pamboni highlights that there were several instances during this massive trial where multiple Somalians tried their best to deliver jurors bags of cash. And they went straight to their homes, of course. If you want to intimidate these people into not taking the cash, you're going to say, "We know where you live." And you show up about $120,000 in cash, and that's exactly what the DOJ is accusing them of. Three defendants delivered a bag containing $120,000 in cash to jurors' homes. And then according to the defendants, when it came to that, when they finally went after them for the bribery charge, the defendants in court filings said the government kept attacking Somali culture and was very racist. I mean, that is their go-to move at all times, at all times. It's hard to really wrap your mind around the fact that individuals who are running these daycare scams, how they could be a part of this. I mean, the majority of these people are on welfare programs because they don't work. Why would they need daycare services? There was another video, and you know, I'll spare you of it because I've seen this being circulated around a lot, but there's another video posted online of a man talking about how when he needed services for his son, he was unable to get it. He tried to get to the building where he had to sign up for daycare services to be free, and the Somalians just packed it out to where he was like the 100th person in line, and the time it was, well, his time to go up there to collect some type of services as an American citizen, he wasn't able to because the Somalians cashed out. So this has been going on for quite some time now. You know, the president's son, Eric Trump, yesterday getting a lot of flack for this tweet because he's calling on these people to go to prison. Sounds great. Maybe you should CC the DOJ into this one. And again, like I mentioned, it's been going on for quite some time now. It's just a lot of people have been looking the other way. And just given the fact that we know that they do bribe off or they try to bribe off individuals from going after them, one could assume it's probably happening with elected officials. All you have to do is start combing through their finances. In clip four, you're going to hear from a former HSI agent who was going around, and he was actually working with local PD in the region trying to get to the bottom of some of this fraud. This was back in 2015, and well, guess what happened? It was shut down. Take a listen to clip four.
A case landed on my desk one day from my supervisor, basically advising me that the state was running a fraud case regarding daycare fraud in Minneapolis. through Health and Human Services or Department of Human Services. And had a task force put together, and they wanted HSI to participate based on our money skills and our immigration skills and so forth like that. So I was advised to start attending the planning meetings they were having with this task force. So over the next several weeks, months, I attended upwards of three, I believe, planning meetings with this task force of about 20 personnel of various law enforcement agencies, the Health and Human Services, BCA, St. Paul PD, Minneapolis PD. And it was all revolving around fraudulent daycares. They were setting up sham daycares, fake bills, fake students, or just enrolling students that never came, which just all fake daycares. That's the easiest way to explain it. And then over the next several months, we executed several search warrants throughout South Minneapolis, Lake Street, and different areas at these daycares. Now, one of the daycares I served warrants on, not one person was ever present, just empty buildings, stacks of invoices and student records of people that our surveillance showed never went there. Nobody ever came in and out of these daycares. It was just completely empty from my experience. Never was occupied daycare. And like I said, I worked that for 3-4 months. I was assigned that case just as a support person to assist with anything needing as far as financial experiences we have with HSI and our immigration authorities and ability to pull records and stuff like that. And ultimately, task force just kind of went away. Not sure whatever happened to it. I would get email notices when their next planning meeting, what we're going to do next. And all of a sudden it just evaporated.
Just evaporated. Wonder why that is. Folks, it's very obvious that they have bought off local officials, and that's the reason why Minnesota changed their flag over. It's absolutely disgusting to watch all of these treasonous pigs completely give up their country to foreigners like this. The Somalian advocates, oh, they're contributing to America, but they can't tell you how. They can't tell you how. And you're supposed to believe that people that didn't have jobs, who are on the welfare system, are somehow, some way in need of daycare services. It doesn't make sense. It doesn't make sense. And then take a look at this video. This comes from 2018. This was actually from a prosecution, again in Minnesota, which revealed Somalian aliens, we'll just go with, bringing their kids to this daycare facility, pretending to check their kids in. The parents then leave with the kids. I mean, this is what was going on when they were surveilling the area. Is it likely that the parents were getting kickbacks? I don't know. Probably should check in on that. And what are they doing with all these funds? Obviously, we know what. There's been several reports in regards, and Liz Collins also doing an incredible job. Give her credit as well. That interview that we just played from Collins. She has been incredible on this battlefront in regards to exposing the fraud. And Tim Walz. But she's done an incredible job at all of this. So obviously there's an abundance of evidence that this has been an ongoing issue for quite some time now. And there really hasn't been an appetite to completely annihilate, eradicate the issue as a whole. Now, Nick Shirley doing simple things like just knocking on doors, asking questions, following leads. And they're targeting him. They're targeting him. I was watching clips from CNN, and I'll spare you. But CNN was making it seem like he was some type of creeper trying to look at children in a daycare facility. That was their concern. That was their concern. And then lying to their audience, like, oh, there were kids there. That's why they didn't let him in. That's not the case. Because there were kids there. You would have heard the body cam footage when law enforcement confronted him. I think it was one of his individuals filming. It wasn't body cam footage. But when he's talking to the law enforcement officer that's grilling him on trespassing and telling him he's got to get out because he's harassing these businesses, both at the healthcare facility and others. I mean, it's just insane. It's just insane. And they're trying to get away with this. They're trying to push this narrative because they don't have much. And so now the new narrative is, well, Nick Shirley's being creep and he's trying to film kids at a daycare facility. But there are no kids. There are no kids. And that learning center that they misspelled learning on, there were reports that it was closed down, I saw last night, and the reports that bunch of wealthy individuals are bringing their kids there to really show support for the community. Absolute garbage human beings. Garbage human beings. And speaking of garbage human beings, Tim Walz has obviously been someone who's been an asset to the fraudulent schemes. In fact, not only is he helping them get all this money in, but most importantly, he is trying to shame anyone who covers it extensively. Listen to clip 5 on how Waltz wants you to think that the fraud affects everyone, and it includes all different types of suspects across the spectrum. Take a listen.
Look, it's not law-abiding citizens. If that were the case, there's a lot of white men should be holding a lot of white men accountable for the crimes that they have committed. I think for the community to maybe educate their population, because I think what you're seeing here is there's secondary victims in this, that there's providers inside the community that are then victimizing the community themselves by signing them up, because when we're going to some of these people, they're like, I had no idea I was in this program. So I think it's asking us then, you know, for every crime, which of course the majority being committed by white men, asking us to do more about that. I think it's crime in general. And I think the biggest thing on this is just making sure that we're educating the population. And again, this is 80 people or so that have been convicted in this, maybe some more in that, out of a broader ring. Medicaid fraud will stretch across all racial demographics, all ethnic groups. So I think it's really important for us to note each community's got this in their own midst, but to blame them and say that they should have been responsible for stopping it, I think that's a pretty hard reach. I think we continue to educate folks about why they shouldn't commit crimes. You would hope that it's being taught both at home and at schools and in our society. But no, I think this idea that the Somali community's to blame for this because they didn't do more, I think that's how we got into this. And that's, you know, again, I know we're not going to lose the whole plot here. All this work that's being done, Donald Trump brought this to the attention like this is something brand new. This is not brand new, and it's been being worked on, but he made it white hot and very dangerous.
Just keep in mind, folks, 5.8 million people live in Minnesota. The population of the Somalians is about 100,000. Why is it that this governor continues to cater exclusively, even changing their flag to the Somalian population? Well, I would probably suggest they take a look at his finances, because none of this actually makes any sense. Why are they continuing to go out there and defend these people? We see it all the time. All the time. It's been going on for many, many years. He was well aware of the fraud. Well, if he was, then why the heck was he sitting there and pushing more money into these people's hands? Remember this tweet from 2023? Where he pretends like Minnesota's economy doesn't work without child care providers. So we're giving them a raise. It sounds great for those who do raise children or helping raise children. They're doing a great service when they're actually doing it, though. When they're actually doing it. And so the spin is in. The spin is in. They're trying their very best to divert the attention. In fact, they want you to sit there and pretend like, eh. So what? So what if the massive amount of fraud is taking place right now in the state is happening in a very condensed community? White men are bad, and President Trump has been bringing attention to this, and it's been an ongoing issue. That's what the governor wants you to think. Donald Trump bad for showing you where the fraud is. And I don't even think the president has really done much in the way of talking about this to the extent that he should be. But they don't want you talking about it. There's a reason why. There's always a reason why. And I'm pretty sure a group of people who, what, average IQ 68? I'm pretty sure they didn't outsmart those local officials. Were they all complicit? Did they all take money? Well, it's quite likely, and I would tell you to probably dig into the finances, follow the money trail. Because we all know that the greed is real. But you can't stop these people from spinning all of this. You know, it's pretty expected at this point. But I want to play clip 6 for you. Because again, they're trying to spin this and point everything over to Donald J. Trump. Take a listen.
So these were funds that were meant to go to help feed hungry people during the COVID pandemic, to help keep people in their homes who were at risk of homelessness. So first of all, if there is fraud there, that should be fully investigated, no matter where it is, whether it's in a Democratic-led state, a Republican-led state. I mean, let's pull back. So absolutely, it should be investigated. The question is, you know, why is this a priority in a different kind of way? The politicization of the DOJ and the FBI is undeniable. So whether they are reliable narrators is is the big question. And this is what happens when you weaponize and politicize federal agencies that are not meant to be, you know, politicized. And I think the American people are right to ask the question, well, can we trust you? And that's a sad thing to say as an American. Let's recall, too, that there's also other scandals in other states. For example, the Mississippi welfare scandal. And this is not unique to politics. Americans know that. But of course, the other factor here is that because it looks like the Somali population in Minnesota, the Somali immigrant population may have been at some involved in some way, those people are being scapegoated, and that community is being scapegoated in a way that certainly serves the far right.
The Somali people may have been involved some way. Honey, over 90% of them are Somalian. They were running it. They were running it. They're sending that money back to their people. There's plenty of stories that prove just that. And so to sit here and be delusional. Also, did you notice how she continues to say hungry people? People. Not Americans, but people. Those funds were meant to go to hungry people. They want to sit here and pretend like we are somehow at fault for this. We are, in a way. We let people with an average IQ of 68 drain our finances. And again, they can't really tell you much in the way of details in regards to her claims. The FBI and DOJ is heavily politicized. And she says that with a straight face. Again, I know who that is. That's the woman who is not very good at math. Not very good at math. But, you know, I don't understand how you could have a show and allow someone to make a claim and say that the federal agencies are heavily politicized. I mean, I don't think they go far enough. That's my criticism of them. But nobody else, lay out some facts. Give me some details. They never ask. They never push back. The reality of it is if you brought people into this country that are looking to destroy this country, they have no association. They say it openly. I played the clip for you yesterday of the former prime minister of Somalia saying that Ilhan Omar has more stronger ties to Somalia rather than America. She's representing Somalia, not America. How many more times when you talk about this? Again, also worth noting, sent multiple emails over to the U.S. Immigration Services to see if Ilhan Omar is even an American citizen. And unfortunately, they just don't get back to me. She's lied several times. And for some reason, we have an administration that will point and show you everything you need to see. But they won't actually send that woman packing. And she said she was ready to go. If they were to kick her out, she's a grown woman. She could go anywhere. Well, if that's the case, let's be the ones to kick you out. She doesn't have a hard time getting around. And I'm talking about, you know, other things. I won't be mean. But Ilhan Omar is an absolute garbage human being. And again, the fraud is right in front of your face. There was actually a local news report that I want to play for you. It's a bit long. But I want to play this for you, clip 7. Because in clip 7, they are specifically going over the medical fraud and all of this. And it's quite interesting because I want you to listen for the guy's name of the new owner of this business who has apparently been charging this woman's insurance hundreds and hundreds of dollars, even though she has never sought services with this medical provider. Take a listen.
Well, it was weird. I was looking at my claims and I saw this company called Community Care Partners in there. And I was like, who are these people?
They were billing her Medicaid.
Day after day.
Billing a lot.
$188.90.
Week after week.
Same thing.
Month after month.
Until you saw their name on your insurance billing, had you ever heard of this company?
No. This company, Community Care Partners, has never worked with me in any way, shape, or form. It's like, who are you? I don't know who you are.
Who are Community Care Partners? Their website says they provide ARMS. ARMS is the acronym for Adult Rehabilitative Mental Health Services, a Medicaid program overseen by the Minnesota Department of Human Services that helps an individual develop and enhance psychiatric stability.
I've never received any type of ARMS services.
Online? Community Care Partners solicits referrals with very detailed information requested. The exact info you'd need to start billing someone's Medicaid When you click on Meet Our Team, you get a page with no information. It does say, find us at our working location in St. Anthony.
Let's go see if Community Care Partners is actually here.
So Care 11 set out to do just that.
This is the address. It says it's Suite 312.
We found a small sign on a door and a mailbox, but no one answered.
Doesn't look like anybody's actually here. It's 1:45, so we're in the middle of the day during business hours.
The Secretary of State website listed a manager. When Care 11 contacted her, she provided evidence that she'd sold the business in December 2023. That sale happened before the ghost billing to Erna's insurance started, and the timing raises even further questions. State Medicaid data reveals Community Care Partners billed just $20,000 in 2022 and $10,000 in 2023. However, in 2024, under new ownership, the company's Medicaid billing didn't just grow, it exploded by nearly 7,000% to more than $700,000. And at least in Erna's case, the money was paid when no services were provided.
To be blunt, you feel like fraud was committed?
Oh, absolutely. There's no way it was not committed.
Eventually, Care 11 received an email from one of the current owners, Mohammed Mohammed, who refused to participate in an interview but acknowledged fraudulent billing. He wrote that when they learned of a client's allegations, we immediately conducted an internal review and, that same day, terminated the staff member involved.
Thank you, Mohammed Mohammed. We appreciate you doing just that. I'm sure there wasn't much follow-up on that report, though. But again, it's been pretty obvious for quite some time now that there's a lot of fraud happening in the states, and they're just hoping you look the other way. I don't think they really thought this video was going to get, what, north of 100 million views. I mean, good on Nick Shirley for doing just that. Again, so many incredible journalists trying to expose the fraud, and the American taxpayers are very grateful for just that. All right, folks, head on over right now to thealexjonesstore.com because we have a limited time. Buy one, get one free on select supplements. It's still going on right now. A couple more hours left in this sale. Obviously, if you're looking to head into the new year with the new, healthier version of you, this is what you're going to want to kick it off with. Head on over to thealexjonesstore.com. Every time you make a purchase, you guys help us stay up and running. We're very grateful for you doing just that. So support our work over at thealexjonesstore.com and support your health.
So it is absolutely critical that you go to thealexjonesstore.com. And until New Year's evening, we are running a ultra massive sale. Buy one, get one free. So buy one supplement, get any other supplement you want free. Add any supplement to your cart and get any other supplement you choose free. You can mix and match any of our amazing supplements together, and they are the best. Ultramethylene Blue, tincture and capsules, bovine colostrum, CMOS capsules, Life Force, Ultimate Life Force, Spike Protein, Cardiovascular Detox, Shilajit capsules and gummies, incredible. Ultimate Turmeric, 95% curcuminoid. Ultimate Power Drink Mix, which is even stronger than Turbo Force. If you like Turbo Force, you're going to love it. Ultimate Power Drink Mix, two great flavors now available at thealexjonesstore.com. High quality concentrated beef cooking tallow. You asked for it, we got it. Ultra DNA Revival. You like DNA Force? This is even better. It's NAD Plus Booster. It's a private label, one of the top NAD Plus products in the country. Atomic Defense, incredible immune system boosting system. Ultimate Burn, to help you lose weight naturally. MK Ultra, great for your brain. The Tallow Balm, we never talk about enough. Optimal Human, the ultimate green drink. You've heard Harrison Smith rant and rave about it. It is all available at thealexjonesstore.com, and it makes this entire operation possible. So thank you from the bottom of my heart. Your support, we can't do without you. Also, InfoWarsStore.com has some limited fish oil and turmeric that are high quality. Also, the collectible fundraiser posters limited edition that I designed. You can also make a straight donation there. We need funds. We got about a $300,000 underage going out in the next few months. We need your support right now. InfoWarsStore.com. You know who you are, the past supporters. I want to encourage those who have been on the fence to take action now. History's happening, and you're betting on a horse that continues to win. Thank you so much.
I'm gonna go to the bathroom.